Welcome to Love Fellowship Believers, a non-denominational church desiring to fulfill God's will. We invite you to join us in an atmosphere of praise and worship in the powerful teachings of Christ delivered in a most creative way that reaches every age. Located at 1900 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Greensboro, North Carolina, on the wonderful campus of Gillespie Park Elementary School. This year, we're focusing on building a foundation solidified by grace, with walls made by faith, and our homes being filled with salvation by being united in living devotion. We promise you, visiting us online or in the sanctuary will be an experience that will be life-changing and one you'll never forget. We hope to see you soon. Services begin at 11 a.m. Have a blessed day.
What an awesome God we serve. Amen? Amen. Amen. Our text is coming from Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. We read verses 4 through 8. Verses 4 through 8. Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 8. Would you have it? Would you say amen? You need some more time? Say, Pastor, hold up. Wait a minute. Amen. Okay, wait a minute. Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 8. It was on page 1014. You have one of our church Bibles, page 1014. Amen. Are we all ready? All right. It says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. Verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Let us pray. Father God, first and foremost, we say thank you. God, thank you for this time. God, thank you for this moment. God, thank you for who you are and what it is that you do. Lord, we simply hope and pray and ask that you would bless us here today with your word, that you would open up our ears, our hearts, and our minds, that we would receive what thus saith the Lord. God, I ask that you would allow this word to be shared in a way that you would have it to be done, that we would be able to receive and yet go out and do what it is you called us to do. Father, we need you and can't make it without you. Bless us that we would be blessed, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. So I'm looking at this scripture in King James, and I say, wow, it might be a little, the way it just says things, it might not be so easily understood. So as we've done before, I'm going to read in the Message version these same scriptures. See if that might be something that helps to explain it a little bit easier to someone. Philippians verse 4 says, even though we can list what many might think are impressive credentials. You know my pedigree. A legitimate birth, circumcised on the eighth day, an Israelite from the elite tribe of Benjamin, a strict and devout adherent to God's law, a fiery defender of the purity of my religion, even to the point of persecuting Christians, meticulous observer of everything set down in God's law book. The very credentials These people are waving around as something special. I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash. Along with everything else I used to take for credit for. And why? Because of Christ. Verse 8. Yes, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand, everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. Dog dung. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ. Amen. Amen. If you're writing a title for today's sermon, this title is Let Your Loss Be Your Lesson for Gain. Let your loss be your lesson for gain. Amen. 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 I hope someone grabs that and runs with it. Let your loss be your lesson for gain. Here, in this particular scripture, Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. If you've actually done any study on the book of Philippians and you start to go through that whole book, you'll find that what Paul does a whole lot in this book is that he repeats. He repeats stuff over and over. Even in one of the scriptures, he says, don't think it to be crazy that I keep repeating this stuff, but I'm repeating this stuff over to you and over to you again and again that you might get it, that you might understand what it is I'm saying. One of the things that he repeats over and over is rejoice. I thought it so fitting today that when our prayer was done earlier, that in our prayer it was talking about not taking things for granted. Paul comes up and he's at the church of Philippi and he says, you've received everything that you need to be true followers of Christ. But what has happened is that some false teachers have come into the midst of you. And in the coming into the midst of you, they started to preach this Judaism again. In other words, they started to preach and they started to teach these works and all this other kind of stuff that you got to do on the outside to be accepted, which is dangerous. Because Paul says, what I came to teach you is that all those works and all that other kind of stuff is not what it is Christ is looking for. Christ is looking for your faith in him. And that through your faith, you might have works. Works don't come first. Amen. I was having a conversation with someone earlier this week, and we were talking about loss. And I said, it's amazing. It's amazing how many stories we can look through the Bible and we can find that people suffered great loss. But in suffering great loss, there were great blessings right around the corner. Amen. Anybody got a testimony of going through some stuff and seeming as though everything was just falling apart, but through that very thing that you went through, later on, you saw how God blessed you through it. You know, you had troubles in your marriage. You had problems going on in your relationship. You thought you were going to get divorced. You were going to get separated. Now you're closer now than you've ever been before. You went through a whole bunch of stuff at your job. You might have even got fired from your job, but God said that wasn't where I wanted you to be anyway. I had something greater for you. And so now you're in another place. And you're even happier than you were previously before. There's so many things that we go through that God allows us to go through that we count as being a real significant thing in our life. You ever notice that what loss does is it causes you to be directed toward God? When you were going through whatever it was that you were going through, when you were in the midst of whatever it is that was happening, God just directed you right back to him. You saw that you started to pray more. You started to study more. And in the process of doing so, God blessed you. You started to have more conversations with God than you were previously before. And look at what it is God did. Paul here is saying, let me go ahead and explain something to you. Now, whether you realize it or not, in 2017, there are different groups of individuals. They title themselves as different things. But one of the things that I've started to see that is very common among them all are they are commandment keepers. They define themselves as commandment keepers. And they say, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to follow this law. I'm going to follow this commandment. I'm going to do this. And they're very stringent about doing that. which I don't have a problem with. But don't think that just because you're following all of those different things and you're doing all of that stuff, that's going to put you in any type of better position with Christ. Paul breaks down his credentials. He starts to go through all of this, and he says, let me tell you something. Let me explain to you exactly who it is that I am. Paul goes through here. He says, though I might also have confidence in flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust the flesh, I more. In other words, anyone that thinks that they are all of that in the flesh, anybody that thinks that they've accomplished, that they've done more works, they've done all this other kind of stuff, he said, let me tell you, they haven't done more than I have. This is what Paul says. He says, they haven't done more than me. He starts now to give the credentials based upon testament law. In verse 5, he says, I was circumcised on the eighth day. Now, on the eighth day was actually the day that was said that they were supposed to be circumcised. Some folk, Ishmaelites, I think, waited till they were 13. I think some other folk waited to another day. Judaizers, there was a different time limit. But Paul says, look, if circumcision is your thing, if an outward expression of circumcision, as we've read in the Old Testament, was your thing, he says that after the eighth day I was born, I was circumcised. I followed the law exactly how it was supposed to be. He then says, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. I've come from the tribe of Benjamin. The tribe of Benjamin was held to be one of the highest tribes because of the fact that that's where kings came from. That's where the very first king came from. Saul came from the tribe of Benjamin. He says, not only did I get circumcised when I was supposed to, he says, I'm of the stock of Israel. I can trace my lineage back all the way to the tribe of Benjamin. I know exactly where I came from. He says, not only that, then he goes, he says, in Hebrew of the Hebrews. A Hebrew of the Hebrews, meaning that my mother was Hebrew, my father was Hebrew. We can trace it all the way back. If there's anybody that's supposed to have their stuff lined up and as far as following the law and having all that together, that's me. He says, not only that, he says, as touching the law, a Pharisee. He says, not only did I have all those credentials from birth, but also as I grew up and I got older, I started following in the belief of the Pharisee. I practiced the laws. I did all of these different things. He said, I believed it so much that I had the zeal to even persecute the very church that we're talking about. This is how much I was into it. This is how much my work showed. Folk feared me. Folk knew that if you were a believer and Saul was coming to town, that you better get out of there because I was going to take you back and kill you. This is who I am. He's giving his credentials. But he says, even after all of those credentials and all that stuff, that folk are telling you that you got to do all of these works and all that kind of stuff, he says here in verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. With all of that stuff that I had, all of that stuff that was going on, all of these credentials that I have, I now look back at it and I said, that was nothing. That was nothing. I think, and let me know what you think about it, but I think that God allows us to go through stuff because we should lose some stuff. Because we start to put clothes before. Because we start to put relationships before. Because we start to put material things before. Because we start to put the accolades and the pats on the back and all this other kind of stuff before Christ. And so I believe that God allows us to go through some things so he can say, let me go ahead and show you that all those different things that you put in there, that's not going to last. That's not going to make it. The only thing that should be counted gain to you, the only thing that should be the most valuable thing to you, the only thing that should be the very first thing in your life is your relationship with Christ. All this other stuff that we got going on in the world, all this other stuff that people are trying to say, those things don't come first. Because you cannot be perfect. I cannot be perfect. Perfection is unattainable by myself. It cannot happen without Christ. Scripture says, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. You can go ahead and have all the works in the world. It's not going to add up. Amen. He goes on to say, he says, yeah, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, from whom I've suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. Paul had to lose his eyesight to be able to see. Paul had to lose his eyesight to be able to see. What is it that you got going on that you're holding on to, that you're dealing with in your life, that you look to count as this thing being actually what it makes you happy, your happiness, that might be getting in the way of you having a better relationship with Christ? Some folks say, Pastor, you don't understand what I'm going through. I need more money. Okay. I hear you. But at what cost are you willing to do that? Oh, but Pastor, I got this going on and I got... Okay. But what are you willing to lose? What are you willing to give up to actually gain what it is that you need? Everybody knows the story of Job, correct? Job didn't voluntarily give up anything. But there was great loss that had to happen before he would ever see great gain. The book of Job says that Job was upright, that he hadn't done anything wrong. But even though God chose him, look at what happened. God had a conversation with Job. Job had a conversation with God. And even though Job was considered to be upright and have it all together, Job found out that, you know what? You're not praying for your friends like you ought to. You're not interceding on the behalf of others like you ought to. Even in all of his uprightness. Amen? There's scripture. Philippians, in this same book, Philippians chapter 1, verse 21 says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. What a great loss for a great gain. Amen? In Matthew chapter 19, verse 21, it says, Jesus said unto him, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. Jesus is speaking to this rich young ruler who says, I've done all the commandments. I fulfilled all the law. And Jesus said, that's nice. That's cute. But look at here. Take all of that you've gained and all of that you think is all of that and go give it away. Lose all of that stuff, because none of that stuff is important. Those things are actually distractions that's going to keep you from following me. Get rid of that stuff and come follow me. For those that don't know the story, the rich young ruler walked away and never came back. Excuse me. He walked away. The Bible doesn't say that he ever came back. Amen? There's other scripture. If you look over in Mark chapter 8, verse 35. I hope you're writing these down. Mark chapter 8, verse 35 says, for whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. In other words, surrender your life to me. There's so much going on that just let all of that go and give your life to me and watch and see what happens to it in my hands. Mark chapter 9, verse 35. It says, sitting down, he called the 12 and said to them, if anyone wants to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. God himself is simply that, God. Wrapping himself in flesh is Jesus. He comes here and he still has all power in his hands. But he surrendered himself to his own will and gave his life for us all. He didn't have to go through what he went through. He didn't have to suffer the way that he did. He said, but I'm going through so that they might have a way. Amen. Hebrews, last scripture. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 27. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 through 27. It reads, by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to endure the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. 2017. A lot of times I get a phone call, focus saying, I got a lot going on, Pastor. I got a lot of things happening in my life. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on. It seems as though I can't figure out which way to go. I can't figure out how this needs to be. Pastor, I need your help. Pastor, pray for me. I got this going on. I got that going on. Look, I understand. It's called life. It's called life. You're not the only person that has a lot going on. But I do want to share with you, there's a lesson in loss. There's a great lesson to learn in loss. Just because God is allowing you to go through some things and seems as though some things are slipping through your hands, some stuff you might need to get rid of. Some stuff you might need to let go. And understand that what you have is so much greater than any of that stuff. If you've surrendered your life and you've given your life over to Christ, you have a relationship greater than anything else in this world. For Christ says, I will supply your every need. He says, I'll be with you every step of the way. There's no place that you can go that I won't be there. That's more important than anything else that we got going on. Because if I'm ever in a place that I need something, he says, don't worry about it, I got it. If I'm ever in a place of confusion and I don't understand, if I simply just back up and stop trying to understand it with my own wit, with my own knowledge, and just let God do it, I'll come out so much better. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you got happening in your life. I don't know how things are looking for you. But let the loss that you go through actually step back from it. And find out, what is the lesson? What am I supposed to learn from it? Because God has greater for me. If he's allowing me to go through it, he's going to get me through it. If he's going to allow me to have to deal with it, he already has a plan on the other side. It's not for me to sit there and try to figure it out on my own. Logically, I'll never understand spiritual situations. God is just that good. So let your loss be a lesson for gain in your life. Amen? Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for the Lord. Let your loss be a lesson for gain. As I said earlier, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're dealing with. But God, there's so many situations. I remember being fired from a job. And being fired from a job, just really feeling down about the whole situation and everything that was going on. But God has something greater set up. I remember being shunned. I remember being talked about. I remember being falsely accused and how bad that felt. But God has something greater in store. If you really take the time to sit back and think over your life, a lot of the different things that you've gone through and a lot of things that have happened, you've gone through those things so that God would actually point you in a better direction. We say it, but do we live it? We say that his relationship is important to us. We say that he is our Lord. We say that he is our Savior, but do we live that? I mean, with every step, do we really live that? Am I really living that life when I let depression take over? Am I really living that life when I let all the different things of the world, I so easily get thrown off by stuff? I was talking to somebody this week and they were like, Pastor, I got this happening. I got this going on. And in the process of having all of this going on, you know, they just really have me acting this way. And I'm guilty of it. I think we all are. I think we're all guilty of being caught up in situations. But please remind yourself that when you feel as though you're getting overwhelmed by your situation, whether it be at your job, whether it be at home, wherever it be, just take a step back and look and say, God, what are you trying to teach me? What is the lesson that I'm supposed to learn from what it is that I'm going through? Why is it that when they said this about me or when they treated me this way, that it threw me off so much? Why did that happen? How can I respond differently to this thing? Not that I would get the pat on the back, but that you would get the glory out of this. How can I respond differently to this thing? And don't get thrown off, because, yeah, you might have on the inside that you're a little angry at it. You might have some thoughts on the inside that you know that really don't line up with what it is. God, but you're human. You're not perfect. You're not going to always get it right. But in the midst of that situation, instead of responding so quickly, just step back for a second and find out what it is God has for you to learn from it. Because there's a lesson. There's a lesson to learn from it. Amen? Amen. It's personal decision time. Personal decision time. After listening to today's message, if there's anyone that says, you know what, something has been said, something has been done to make me.